Good morning, everyone. Call our meeting to order. Mr. Straffus is going to open us with prayer, and then we'll have the pledge, if you'd stand with us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today, and Father, we ask you to watch over this commission proceedings. Father, we also ask you to be with the leaders of this county and the cities, the school systems, the state, and the federal government, Father. We ask for wisdom, Father, in all our decisions and everything that we do. Lord, we ask you to be with our troops as they are fighting wars and protecting us all around the world. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to live in a free country, and we ask you to just be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Next on our agenda is meeting minutes. And I must admit right off the bat, I haven't got 10, 12 looked at.
You just want to table them?
Well, it's up to you guys.
That's we can table them. We got them late, and I went through them all. I've read them, but that's fine.
We just stall them for a little later in the day.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
Motion to table minutes 10, 12, and 10, 13 till
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Second. Questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you. All right. We've got accounts payable.
I've got this. I'm getting the checklist right here.
So. Oh, yes.
Is that right? I think that's right. We're having computer issues. We got hit with a pretty good virus over the weekend, so our IT guys have been working overtime here. So for the sake of accuracy, let's table these to one because there's an email. I'm not sure if this is the most current list of all the checks.
Okay. Fine with me.
Motion to table accounts payable to 1 o'clock.
Second. Questions?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Okay.
Does that affect the mailing? I would like to table that till later in the morning by 10 or so, because there's mailing of checks and that might be important.
Let me do this. Want Nikki?
Ask Helen.
Yeah, ask.
Physically get the check numbers.
Yeah, there's a range they give us for check numbers and warrants and all that. If you would just get the range and then we can come back. Let me just withdraw my motion, then we can move on and come back.
You guys didn't see my concern.
Yes, that's true.
Withdraw them a second. So we'll stall that and come to it a little later in the agenda. Didn't see any journal entries or transfers, so we'll move on to public comment. Is anybody here for public comment?
I don't think so.
Nikki's gone to look. She takes care of that list for us.
Right.
Seeing nobody moving around, we'll go on to new and old business. And we've got an update on Branson Schools. See Dr. Hyder. Welcome, sir.
I meet with Dr. Hyder pretty regularly, and in one of our conversations, I thought it would be good for him to give us quarterly updates on what's going on in the Branson school system.
You bet.
And so he's over here just to give us an update.
Greetings. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the chance to come over and visit with you this morning. Just a few items that I thought might be of interest to you. First, greetings on behalf of our board. And we've had some changes, so I thought I might share that with you up front. A couple of incumbents are still in office. Pete Marcellus is still our board president. Patty Lloyd, who served numerous terms, is still our vice president. And then Wendy Davison and Teresa Givens, who've both been on more than one term, are still board members. About a year or so ago, Mike Booth, of course, resigned to become a city council person. And he was replaced by Roger Fries of Ozark Mountain Bank. Then a few months later, which this doesn't happen typically that much, Ryan Polk moved to Nixa, Ozark area. And so he was replaced with Craig Westcott. So Craig is now on our board. And then through the last election, Debbie Keller is also a member. So we've had a little bit of turnover and two vacancies to fill, which, again, sometimes you can go a whole career as a superintendent and not do that. But we had great candidates, and so they send their greetings this morning also. Secondly, and probably the biggest issue that we continue to face, and I want to share with you, is just growth in our school district. This year, we're up approximately 3.9%. which is about 170 students, 4,557 total when we had our count the last Wednesday in September. That's up from 4,389 from this time last year. My first year was 2003-2004, so this is my eighth year in the district after Dr. Orth retired. We've grown 37% in the 8 years that I've been here. It's just been amazing. I also look back at some data. We've doubled since 1995. So our total student population has doubled in the last 15 years. The last 3 years, and you're well aware as a governmental entity, much like we are, about the economic downturn that we've had, our architects came in this summer for a planning session and talked with us about what's happening around the state of Missouri as far as student growth. And as you can imagine, a lot of places are either static or losing students. And we've continued to grow at almost a 4% clip the last 3 years, even with everything else going on across the state. If we continue at that 4% rate, in 3 years, we'll be up to about 5,100 students. In 5 years, about 5,500. And in 10 years, we'd be up to almost 6,400 students. So we don't see any stoppage, at least at this point. Kind of a side note to that, later in November, and all of you certainly are invited to come, and we'll get notification to you, we're going to have some what we call focus groups come in, and small groups, just to talk about some of these types of issues, and we'll get you invitations to those. We'd like to have you there and share your input about the school district. The board has also talked about, and this was in our strategic 10-year master plan, there is a possibility, a distinct possibility, that we may be looking at a no tax rate increase bond issue in April of 2011. Again, we continue to grow, and 3 years out with another 550 plus students, by the time it goes to the ballot in April, I know you're familiar, having built the jail and other building projects that you undertake as a government, it'll take 2 more years to build it, and we're going to have room. I won't go into all the details today. I'll come back early next year if that happens and, of course, share all the details and answer questions. But we're probably looking, as we talked about in the last election, two campuses, a K-6 campus over on Buchanan, a K-6 campus at Cedar Ridge, with the current junior high staying the same in the high school. And we're working out all those details. The big issue there is, how do you divide the district? And when we do that, we want to do it as fairly and equitably as possible, as far as male-female, socioeconomic status, free and reduced lunch, all of our demographic populations. Our Hispanic population is up close to 10%. Our Caucasian population during the time that I've been here has gone down 5%, with most of that being Hispanic. Our African-American, Indian, other Native groups, the numbers have gone up, but the percentages have stayed pretty much the same. So Hispanic, by far, has been the other biggest group that's increased. The next thing I want to mention to you is this fall, when we set our levy, one of the things that happened, of course, forecasting what was going to happen from a budgetary perspective, I built the budget this year on pretty much a similar operating levy, which was about $3.16. We did get about $13 million in new construction, but personal property, which again is no surprise, was down a little less than 10%. And then some of the Board of Equalization actions, again, not surprising because of current valuations, caused our levy to go up. But in talking with our board, we declined to take that full amount. And so we rolled back about a nickel in operating, and as we've done almost every year, rolled back 4 cents in debt service, which pays off our principal and interest on our bonds on our building projects. So we've tried to be sure and get that message out that, you know, we're trying to be as fiscally responsible as possible, not raise the levy any higher than we need to raise it, and still be able to do what we need to do for kids. So that's a message that we want you all to make sure that you have, so does patrons ask that question. Now, next year, what's going to happen? We know the assessments and what's happening in the economy, something to watch. The state auditor's office monitors and calculates what we can levy. So we don't know what's going to happen there. If it goes down, it could go up. But the side note to that is, theoretically, if assessments drop, let's say on residential, and the levy goes up, you're still not going to pay anymore. So we're going to try to be as fiscally responsible as possible, but wanted to make sure that the commission was aware that, you know, we have voluntarily rolled back and we're trying to do everything we can to make it as easy as possible on our taxpayers. The next item is we're proud to announce that for the sixth consecutive year, the Ransom District has received the Distinction in Performance Award from the state of Missouri, and that's based on primarily performance test scores, ACT, graduation rate, dropout rate, etc. The other thing that I'll point out to the commission is you can be proud of the school districts in your county, because if you look at that list of schools that have garnered distinction in performance, Kirbyville, Taneyville, Forsyth, Branson, Hollister, they are doing well. There was an editorial in the News Leader two or three Sundays ago about just Southwest Missouri and how well the districts have done. And I sent an email to the editorial board and said, I kind of stole, you know, if you read the front of the News Leader, it says, "'Tis a privilege to live in the Ozarks." And I sent them an email and said at the bottom, in my opinion, 'tis an educational privilege to live in the Ozarks, because I think our schools do a good job. And it's a little concerning when you watch certain national programs and they want to equate everything that happens in our districts to New York, to Newark, New Jersey, to some of those places. And certainly there are places that need to be fixed, but I'm pretty proud of what happens in Taney County, so I think you should be too. Those are the basic things I wanted to mention. The last thing that I will mention, and I'll step a little bit out of my role as superintendent, although I'll say this as superintendent and as a citizen of the Eastern District. Been watching with interest the whole discussion about planning and zoning, and would just leave with a final word today. My hope is that we'll be cautious. I understand some of the concerns that I've read. I grew up on a 30-acre farm north of Walnut Grove, had stock cows, hogs, hauled hay, did all the stuff. And I certainly understand where some of those concerns are coming from. But as a superintendent and also an Eastern District citizen, let's be cautious about not having anything. That scares me. I watched legislation in Jeff City about adult entertainment along I-44 when I was up there doing some things. I'm a little concerned about housing. We talked about the growth, building codes for schools. Certainly not advocating there are not things that could be better, but I hope we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and open our doors to some things we hadn't thought about. So I just wanted to at least leave you with that. If I'm here on the 25th, we'll plan on being in attendance over Kirbyville to just listen to the citizens and share. But would be remiss, both as school superintendent at Branson and a Taney County resident, if I didn't mention that this morning. With that, I'll certainly be glad to answer any questions you might have about the Branson schools, and appreciate the time of being here.
Good comments. Who's got questions? Comments.
And we had a note on it last week, but your levy did go up what percentage?
It went up from, our operating levy went up from about $3.16 to about $3.21. So a nickel, we could calculate that percentage, but it went up about a nickel. And okay. That was a nickel we did not levy.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, that's unusual, because typically new construction will offset. If personal property had stayed about the same, it wouldn't have moved anyway. So that was the theory that we took, that we didn't plan on it. There's no use taxing the citizens if we don't need to.
Doug, on a $100,000 home, that raise, what's it cost for a taxpayer?
If we had levied the nickel?
Or what the increase is. They've trying to prepare the taxpayer for what they're going to see here. The increase
okay. In
your levy. How does it affect a $100,000 home in taxes?
Okay. If you have a $100,000 home, residential is assessed at 19%. So that would be $19,000 divided by 100, which would be $190, times the nickel, which would be what? If it was $200 times the nickel.
$9.50.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you didn't increase your levy, did you?
No.
So they're not going to see that increase.
That's correct.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that.
We did not increase it, plus another 4 cents, and so you can almost not quite double that. Yeah, in debt service.
Okay.
So it was about 9 cents total that we did not levy that we could.
The other thing that you mentioned, and I believe I have a good handle on it, but levies came up, I think, last week in our meeting. You mentioned assessments going down, but the levy wouldn't necessarily go up. Can you explain that in short?
Well, what happens is we get a form, 4 or 5 page form. So you asked me a math question early in the morning, so I was getting this. But there's about a 4 or 5 page form that you do a calculation, and the state auditor's office sets our ceiling of what we can levy. So theoretically, if you're getting a certain amount of money and you have this much assessed valuation, what's typically happened, of course, in a good economy is this goes up. And so your levy will either stay the same or probably go down a little because of the amount of money you can get. It's based on the CPI. You know, if the CPI is 2%, you can get 2%. And then typically this happens. And over time, as your assessment goes up, your tax rate goes down. The converse happens also. If we need a certain amount of money to operate and assessments drop by, let's say residential drops 10%, it's a little less than $300 million, so let's say it goes down $30 million, then theoretically you could see this go up a little bit to offset that. But for the residential homeowner, if both of those offset, you really shouldn't pay anymore as a resident.
Right.
Because it'd be about the same amount of taxes that you would pay. And so that's theoretically how that would work.
Gotcha.
And that would be, of course, a board decision on how much, or do we want to leave it there and cut somewhere, which is a possibility also, which we've already, of course, done. As everybody's done, we've had to tighten our budget.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Other questions or comments? Dr. Hyder.
I was wondering, Bruce, on Friday we had that legislative update, and we talked about upcoming legislation that they're talking about in Jeff City already about what legislation is going to affect the schools. And we talked about the voucher program and all that. I mean, is there anything you want to share about the concerns we've got at Jeff City right now about what legislation may or may not be discussed in the spring?
Well, the big one, as Commissioner Stroff has mentioned, is open enrollment and the voucher system, which allows students to move around. I think that's fraught with a lot of peril as far as funding. And, you know, whether we like it or not, the reality is in a lot of bigger schools, you can get into athletic issues of eligibility. Not that that's the main reason we're here, but that's something we'd have to deal with. Budget, of course, is huge. Where is the state? You have a lot of freshman lawmakers who do not have any experience. It's a little scary. Their intentions, I'm sure, are noble and good, but just having the expertise to deal with it. Lack of revenue. There's something we get called the M&M surtax, which is a Missouri tax that's we use for school districts. There's been talk about repealing that. That's a little bit scary because we get about $500,000 out of that. All the school districts in the county would get some money there. You just continue to see the whole issue of public education choice and funding probably at the top of the list of the things that we are most concerned about.
I think in the meeting they said, was it 71 new legislators are coming in?
Yeah, 71 or 74, something in that neighborhood.
So. It's going to be a challenge
for them. It's going to be a challenge, yeah.
All right. Good info. Thanks for asking him, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, next on our agenda is road vacations. And where are we on road vacations?
We have these items that we tabled from 2 weeks ago, I believe.
We were waiting on some different information on each road vacation.
Okay.
I'm going to make a motion on Mr. Barnett's property at a personal request that we we take this up at our next quarterly meeting. In January.
Which one is that?
I have it.
Oh, you already have it. What is that?
He has
a portion of unnamed alley in Power Site.
So do we need to take action or just don't take action?
I mean, you're not going to hear it. I don't believe. Did we start a hearing?
No.
He wasn't here, so we didn't.
He was ill.
Right, so we didn't start the hearing or anything.
So you're just going to consider it submitted in for the January term, and he can notice it up.
Right, yes. So we don't do anything. Okay.
Didn't make a motion on that or anything, did I?
No.
I just mentioned it.
Yep.
So we would like the record to show that we're going to...
Yeah, it's going to be it's shown as submitted for the January term.
Okay. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We've got a portion of Normal Street and West Street.
We did the hearing on all these, I believe.
That's correct. Are those the two that Mr. Boyce presented?
Not Normal Street.
No.
Okay. Those were the ones that Mr. McCullough presented.
Correct.
And he provided us with an order, and the order's fine. What were we waiting for today?
I sent letters to Haney County Sewer District and to White River.
Bill, would you come up to the mic for us, please? Thank you.
Your verification of utilities, I think.
Those documents are in the
file. Bill McCullough, appearing for petitioners. I submitted letters to the White River Electric Co-op, White River Valley Electric Co-op, and to the Haney County Sewer District. Received a response from White River Valley that they had no
concerns,
intention for any greater use than they might already have. And,
okay,
of course, nothing in place would be disturbed. I believe there is nothing in place. I have not had a response from the sewer district.
So we're fine.
We're fine.
The order is fine. So
no one present that has any problems with this vacation? If so, if no one present voicing a opposition opinion, I'm going to make a motion that we accept the vacation.
Second.
And again, we're talking about a portion of Normal Street and West Street.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Questions or comments? Again, anybody else? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. All right, we've got Mountain Drive and Meadow Drive. Yeah.
All right, these are Mr. Boyce's.
And other than the misspelling of Ms. Neely's name, I didn't see any problem with them.
Oh, my. All right, then I move that we vacate Mountain Drive and Meadow Drive as presented.
Jim, would you ask the same question that I did, because we had a public hearing on that, but then we had the questions that were being asked. So if there's anybody present that has a
right
opposition to the vacation.
Anyone here like to speak on Meadow Drive and Mountain Drive? Don't see anybody.
Second his motion.
Okay. Any more discussion, questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
We'll sign those in a second.
Okay, next is planning and zoning. I'm having trouble with my voice. I asked that to be put on the agenda. Gather my notes up here. First comment, one of the papers had a political cartoon last week that at first look aggravated me. I guess it was a good term. And I thought about the cartoonist and wanted to talk with them. But as I considered it just a little bit, can't blame the cartoonist for the cartoon. It referred to our planning and zoning staff here at the county. And they don't come up with stories or cartoons in the newspaper without information. And as I considered that, I ended up with the thought that the information that's gone out on this planning and zoning and our planning and zoning staff has caused some wrong thinking, I believe. Also, we had an issue last Tuesday night at our planning and zoning meeting. We have the Planning and Zoning Commission consists of 9 members, and there was an issue on a special use permit for someone to use a home in a commercial type way. During that hearing, there were some out of line comments made by one member of the public, especially, and I know you two weren't there, but I would ask that we video those.
Okay.
It'll take 10 minutes of your time or 2 hours of your time if you listen to the whole meeting, 10 minutes of the particular issue. I struggled this morning thinking about how to describe it, but and I hate to use the word attack or something like that, but our Planning and Zoning Commission
mainly one, was spoken to out of line, I believe. And I don't know how we address that issue. It's difficult for me over my experience as the presiding commissioner who's presiding over the meeting when an individual has unkind things to say. I don't want to cut them off because then you look like you're afraid or something, or you're trying to hide something, or this or that. So anyway, it's a difficult experience for a chairman when someone is coming after him. But I would request that both of you, and I can narrow it down to that, would look at that and see if you can come up with some ideas. I rattled all that to say I think that came from misinformation that has been put out about our staff. Also, we have a case, I believe, of the planning and zoning code and the things that have been written and said that have misled people. I had one recent call, and I'm going to get both of you the phone number from a lady, and she had questions, and I applaud her in a loud way if I could. She said, I decided I needed to talk to the commission and find out what's this about. And one of her issues, she had heard that we weren't using planning and zoning, and which is very far from the truth. And I bring that up to say the information that's going out there about planning and zoning is way off the wall. We had issues brought to us, the county commission, a few weeks ago, lost track exactly when, that stated things and there was error in them, I believe strongly. We have not addressed them as a county commission. I'm thankful we had our meeting Thursday, and we got the other one coming up for folks to express their concerns. As we went through the one Thursday, and excuse me, the conversations we had by everyone involved, I thought was very polite and courteous, and I appreciate that. The one thing that I kind of focused on was we need to hear what you think is wrong with our code. And so I have a question for the commission. After listening to that meeting and to the phone calls and the folks that you all have talked to, I would ask you, what are the specific concerns that you all have heard as far as our code? What's wrong with our code? And as I give you a minute to think, I'll rattle on a little bit more. And this is what I've heard. I've heard an issue about land disturbance. And the issue is that the code reads that when we disturb, if a person's going to disturb more than 1 acre of ground, they have to go to planning and zoning and get a permit. If it's less than 1 acre, no permit required. You do what you like. You can use a bulldozer or whatever you want to use. But if it's more than an acre, you have to get that permit. That permit costs $75. Some years back when we didn't have fees, which came up in our meeting Thursday, it didn't cost you anything to get the permit. That part of our code has connection with state law that DNR goes along with. The issue came up when this first started in our two-page letter that we got that agriculture was an issue. And we've hammered on this, I have anyway, for some time. Agriculture, if you're building any kind of an agriculture facility, a barn, whatever the case would be, is exempt. And it reads it clearly, I think, in our development code, our county code, as well as the state code, state law. But that issue keeps coming up. If you're doing another project, a project other than agriculture, commercial project, a home, and you're disturbing more of an acre of ground, then you have to get this permit. In thinking about land disturbance, my memory goes back, I don't know how many years, it's been a number of years ago, but there was a project south of Hollister on the west side of 65 where the ground was just dozed, cleared off, and a project never came to place. And I heard many folks complain. I mean, why do we let this happen? Well, that's what land disturbance permit is about. If you're going to disturb more than an acre of ground, you pay the $75 fee, you need to add this, and then you pay a bond, which you get back 100% after you're done with your project. And the reason for the bond is that if you allow runoff that damages somebody else's property or damages our creeks or rivers or lakes, that's the purpose for it, that it protects those things. I say all that to say the land disturbance issue, I don't think we have a problem in our code. I don't think we have a problem in our staff administering that code. So that's my little axe to grind there. You've been listening, so you probably haven't had time to think. But I did not hear from anyone on Thursday specifics of what's wrong with our code. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that we've got improvements to make, and we're working towards those, I believe. Help me out.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of issues that are brought up. A lot of them, I think, most of the issues that I heard were was a lot of misunderstanding of the code book. I mean, the interpretation, there is some misunderstanding of that. We obviously have areas that we need to improve on. I think agricultural zoning, as we call it, needs to be better defined in our code book so that people don't misunderstand what we're trying to regulate. I mean, it's not that we're trying to regulate agriculture, but maybe we could do a better job defining what we're not doing, because it seems like people are making some assumptions that we are doing this and we are doing that with agriculture, and we clearly don't. We clearly understand that agriculture is zoned, has a different set of rules. Performance zoning, I think I've heard in conversations since our meeting, people want once zoned, always zoned type of thinking versus the performance zoning that we have, which is if you don't start a project after so many days, and you know, after what, 365 days, you don't go through the permit process, it regresses back to the previous zoning. But there's a lot of fine tuning, but specifically, I think a lot of it is just making it cleaner and more understandable is what it seems like we're having struggles with. You know, I know that, you know, if you talk to a mayor, they want us to work on, you know, they want to do more additions than they are fixing. I mean, we've heard, you know, people want us to address duplexes in the county. That's an addition versus right now we say no, I think is what our code is. So there's a lots of little things, but any major gaps, I guess you have to define what is major, but I know there's issues that we're trying to clear up, but I didn't hear, based off the meeting we had last week, I did not hear anything major that we haven't already had discussions and trying to work to fix.
Okay. Danny, any comments?
Yeah, I've got comments. Always got comments. One thing is that we have a planning and zoning code that we have a large number of citizens that have the opportunity to sign a petition to do away with P&Z. I'm not for doing away with P&Z, but I am for correcting it. I think it should be line by line adjusted by this county commission. It's been brought forward, and there is, from the numbers that I'm hearing, there's going to be 1,500 to 2,000 signatures come in here with people that are dissatisfied with our form of planning and zoning. It is the responsibility of this county commission to go line by line and try to straighten that situation up before there's a vote to do away with planning and zoning. We need just like Mr. Hyder got up and talked about this morning, infrastructure is very important, and it all pertains to planning and zoning and the growth of our school districts and everything else that is involved. But if when you have that many dissatisfied citizens, it's time for us to address it. And not that the county commission doesn't have their plate full with county business, but it is our responsibility to look at each one of the codes. I think, Jim, you said the other day there's 104 pages.
It's not like 104 pages.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, that's way too much regulation for anything. If we call ourselves, and I do, I run on a Republican ticket as a conservative, and less regulations, I feel like that it is our responsibility as a Republican sitting in this office to look at those and see if we can decrease and simplify some of the codes so that all the public understand, not just certain individuals coming up and having a request and misunderstanding, and they say something to their neighbor or a group at a coffee table, and they turn around and get the misconception of what is actually wrote in the book. Because sometimes, and you pardon my expression, Mr. Paulson, but sometimes attorneys that write these things put more language in there than needs to be put into a code book. And we are elected by the people to represent them, and we need to simplify the code book. And in this case, I think less is better.
Okay.
What I would ask both of you commissioners, is, as we've talked about last week, was as you hear specifics, because the last thing we need to do is focus our energy thinking we know what the problems, the major problems are, and then we make some adjustments, and it's not what the majority wanted. So as you guys hear specifics, I think Chuck provided a form last week. Call the commission if you have specifics. Make sure if someone wants to call in or send an email and say, make sure you look at this part of the code, or we had problems with this part. If we can get specifics, then we can narrow our approach of what we want to fix first. Because the last thing we want to do is make sure we're working on what's the most important to the people right now.
Best use of our time.
Right.
Yep. And one thing, as I look at these petitions that are set up there, and I have no idea whose name, three-fourths of the names that are on there, I have no idea who those people are. They have concerns. Mm-hmm. They're not villains. They're not people that's out to destroy the county. They're not people that are trying to tear down a process. And I think that's the message that's being sent by some of the people that are for planning and zoning, is that you are too stupid and ignorant to know what is best for the county. That's not what they're trying to do at all. They're trying to send a message to this county that we have a problem, and why don't you as leaders address that message?
Okay. James, you got something for us?
Yeah, and I am truly concerned about the expressions that come back at James Strahan for bringing up past. It seems to be tagging on past, and I'm glad to hear you, Mr. Pennell, bring up the past. I heard in the meeting on Thursday, I think it was Thursday, a gentleman brought up the past and the arguments for planning zoning, and he brought up the words, even back in the 60s. Well, that jogged my memory again. In the 60s, when this thing started, planning and zonings, there was an intent. There was an intent behind government. At that time, it was airport. There was a vote in the 60s, and you ask where I come from on my appeals toward planning and zoning. There was a vote in the 60s to build an airport. Along with it was to come planning and zoning. That airport was to be a condemnation suit of the Strahan Farm, the Lee Brown Farm, the Harold Plott Farm, the Pony Farm, and the Bliss Breeding Farm. So that set the stage. That set the stage of questioning the good versus the bad of planning and zonings and what was coming for the future of Taney County. When I, in 1983, when I built my house, I didn't have to have a permit to build my house because I sat on agriculture acreage. Back to the statement of circumvent agriculture laws and rules. This was true up through the 90s. You didn't have to have a permit, but then whenever I give you the copy out of my billfold here that you flashed on the board last Thursday, Mr. Panel, you said there was something wrong with that, that this wasn't so. Along about the time that issued to all the citizens of Taney County and their tax bills is when you did have to get a permit to build a farmhouse on a farm. Sometime in that range. But then we said, and along in 2000-ish, we decided not only did you have to get a permit to build on the agriculture ground, we expedited you had to pay for those permits. And I believe that may have first occurred in 2004. Since those permits has increased in price to build on agriculture ground. Now, I think if you read on that little slip that went out to the paper, I don't even think it talks about farmhouses as having to get a permit. But you tried to read into my mind what I had to say about that piece of paper that went out to the people. There's nothing on those 10 points of interest that in generalized statements is true. Not true. I'm sorry. Everything on there, when you apply it, is true. There's applications now, and this is where I fall apart. I fall apart with defending what P&Z has done for this county. We're going to walk through your front door. We're going to make you to get a Division III permit to use your telephone in your home. Now, this covers other residents. There's lots of people out there that's very upset. Very disturbing. I've heard stuff that ain't even mentioned in the 10 points of interest. And it's not stuff that's imaginatory. It's what they come before the Planning and Zoning Board and got issued. So that's all I had to say about it. And you can attack those 10 points of interest all you want to. You can sit around and have the zoning, Planning and Zoning Boards going through that stuff for a week. It doesn't matter to me. It's the truth. It's how things happen. And guess what? I remember all these instances. And I'll guarantee you, if the records hadn't been destroyed, those four instances will be covered in what I'm telling you. No one of my county employees got her card this morning to decide whether she's in a floodplain or not. Her address is Hilltop Ranches, Hilltop Ranch Road. So she gets a form to say, come and try to correct the federal floodplain map. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen. That person can quarrel all they want about correcting something that is irresponsible for her to have to put up with by the government. They should go over there and fix it themselves, point out to her. She owns 500 acres or more, and a portion touches the floodplain. So now she'll have to go prove to the government that her house with an address of Hilltop Ranch, check this out, is not in a floodplain. Now, come on, guys. Ridiculous gets ridiculous, and man, we are deep in it right now of government out of Taney County, Missouri, and maybe in some other locations. So I'm going to let it go at that.
If I can, just to clarify, James brought up the FEMA card. We'll address that separately. So his last part about one of his employees getting a card, we'll address that in a separate issue here. So James, I wrote down a couple of things out of what you just said of concerns for P&Z. So I've made a note of that so we can continue to get a list of things that we need to improve on.
Okay. Mr. Earhart.
Morning.
Morning. I'm Don Earhart, and I just kind of want to comment on a statement that you made, Mr. Panel, about land disturbance. You said that a person that was disturbing, like any acreage, had to come before the Tane County Commission or Tane County Zoning Department.
Planning Zoning. Mm-hmm.
And get a permit, which costs $75. Mm-hmm. And you're okay to go.
Well, but, you also, and I was drug out, Don, you also have to pay a bond.
Okay. Now, I want to know where it ends. So you, okay, you pay the $75, you go out here and you start in, and then your planning and zoning says, whoa, you're doing a lot of things we don't want, and maybe the state don't want, and I'm going to turn you in now. And now the state's going to require you to get fill out an application, cost you $300, and if I find anything wrong with what you've done so far, I can fine you. And I can make you put up a lot of additional things that you weren't aware of to start with. I don't think this is correct. You know, I think the planning and zoning is way out of hand. I think that if you go by what the citizens of Taney County, the county part, want, it's no codes. They made this very clear in a vote. So actually, the only codes that you can put in, if you want to go by the people, are the state codes. And if you change any of those state codes, it automatically reverts to codes that the county's putting in. I think that we're off track. Now, do we want to go with the codes that people want or the codes that the state wants, or do we want to make up a bunch of new codes and go against the people? That's all I have to say.
Don, land disturbance, in visiting with you, is where your issue started out and is, as you just talked about. The way I see it, my understanding is land disturbance is not building codes. You mentioned building codes. As we've said numerous times over the last few weeks, there were folks that wanted building codes in the county. County Commission says okay, and we put it on the ballot, and it did not pass. It was huge. People did not want building codes. But land disturbance is not a part of building of what they voted on.
If you're going to be putting a building on there, Chuck, and you make that quite obvious that you're going to be putting a building on this, you're getting a land disturbance permit. It's part of a building code.
Well, I disagree. Okay. Because in your particular instance, you didn't put any building. All you did was...
Well, mine was agricultural.
Well, you bulldozed the land.
Yeah, but it was agricultural.
And there's a purpose for the land disturbance, as I've already said, and I think that is when you're doing more than an acre, the thought was, I didn't write the rules, but I think they make sense, and that is if you're disturbing more than an acre, you have the potential to cause some damage either to your neighbor's property or to our water system.
Don't disagree at all.
And so I believe, my opinion is that land disturbance regulation, we've had it for quite a while, and I think it's important. And you and I discussed this when we visited Friday, I think. And Danny brought up, and I'm glad he did, he brought up the message. Since you're at the podium, I'd like to go ahead and make a point about the message. The message, Danny's saying, and I think you said about the same thing, from the petition that's being worked on is that the county needs to do something about their codes. As Danny said, I'm not for doing away with planning and zoning. I'm certainly not, and what I've heard from Mr. Strophis is the same thing. Everyone that spoke on Thursday, I don't think I heard anyone say, I'm in favor of doing away with planning and zoning. I want to do away with planning and zoning. I didn't hear that, I don't believe. I did hear, as we have talked about today, that there's things that need improving and changed. Well, and he said it again just now. So, I'll make my point again to you, and that is this, and those that are signing this petition, what you're signing is to do away, to call for a vote to do away with planning and zoning. And that's not what I'm hearing folks want to do. they want us to work on planning and zoning. Again, the statement I've heard from you and Danny, the message is do something. And my sense, as I told you Friday, yes, sir, I've got the message. I'm speaking for myself as one county commissioner. I got the message very clear. You want us to fix things. And work. I'm committed to do that. And I think the commission's committed, from what I've heard from them, to fix things.
Are you?
So, yes, sir, I am. I'm not lying to you.
What have you done? Now, what actually have you done? I mean, have you started on page one?
Let me tell you what I've done.
Okay.
And you heard it Thursday. We've had an issue about minor subdivisions. In order to sell 5 acres off of a 40 acres, we've had much discussion about the requirement to do a minor subdivision to do that. And the sense has been over all these years that I've been here, is that's a problem. We're having to create small one and two lot subdivisions. Or two. How could you have a subdivision with one lot? That doesn't make sense. But anyway, so we found, not on my own, with some help from staff, we found that here's a paragraph in the code, 5.2, that says there's a possibility, and I've talked to a land surveyor after we found this, knows the state rules as well as the county, and he believes it can be done, and I suggest that there's another part of me putting on the agenda today, is I'd like this county commission to hire him, sit down with us, and see if that's possible. That's something I've done. And I've done more than that, but my mind's drawing blank, so I don't know. But you, frankly, have started this petition to send a message. We got the message. And what would be the right word? I just simply ask you to hold your petition as a lever, I think is the way I said it to you the other day, as a lever to see if we're genuine about fixing it. And if we're not genuine and we're pulling your leg, then use it. But don't give us a chance. Give us a chance to work on it and do our best to fix these things. If we don't do it, hammer us with your petition. But to put us through a vote, the cost, the effort from everyone to go vote on this issue when it's not really what the people want. I mean, that I'm just not hearing that anywhere, that the people want us to do away with planning and zoning. They want us to fix the errors. So I ask you kindly, with a smile on my face, hold that petition and see if we're going to work on it. If we don't, you've got it in hand. You can bring it to us later.
Okay, James and I started out with this. You know, we had no idea that each other was going to be throwing rocks, you know, at this. But that's what we started off doing, throwing rocks, small ones. Then we worked up larger ones. And now we're throwing boulders. I would consider this doing away with planning and zoning, throwing boulders at you guys to get your attention. And I hope we have got your attention. But I want you all to realize that you all are in administration. You all have the power to go out and get different individuals to get all of this together. You don't have to do this individually as saying, we're going to have to meet midnights to do work on this. You can get a firm or a group of people together that are very courageous about getting good planning and zoning, pull them together and get their insight before you have to waste a lot of your time. Because going from square one wastes time. If you can get someone to kind of pull all this together, then you all can review this really quickly, make a judgment on it, and get the thing done. James and I are just tired. We're tired of people doing nothing. You know, everything looks good and you apply the pressure and then they say, we're going to do this, And you say, okay, no more pressure. Then they do nothing. Now, this is bad. And then this goes on for years, not just a day. How long has planning and zoning been going on? And how much change has been made? Not much. Not much. But I want to get a clarification going back to the original statement I made. If the state has control over it, let's pay the state so they can come in and look at what's going on in our county. If they require a application, if they require coming in and looking at a certain job or a certain code to determine if it's right or wrong, an individual should be paying the state. They shouldn't have to pay the county and then pay the state and argue about what's going on. There should be a one-time deal from a person. That's all. Just come in, either do the business with the state or do the business with the county and go about your business. This other way is just no good. That's all I'd say.
Okay.
I just wanted a couple clarifications. Is that as a commission, we have been doing some stuff. We hired a land planning engineer back in June 29th of last year. They worked on a code, gave us some recommendations that the draft, which was a draft for us to work off of so we wouldn't have to recreate, got circulated, and there was panic throughout the parts of the county because we were working on it. So I would ask the people, as they hear this, as we come up with suggestions and revisions, that no one panic about wording of a certain paragraph because we have to do all this in public. There's nothing we can do in private because two commissioners together, we have to post every meeting. But be patient with us as we look at every option to make it cleaner. We had a draft that was submitted that was hundreds of pages long that we tried to work out of that. People came up and spoke against how bad this draft was. It wasn't a good draft, but it was strictly a draft. It wasn't going to go into final code, and we knew that. But so as we work on this, people need to be patient that until it's time for us to make recommendations and even submit this to the Planning and Zoning Commission, it's a work in progress. So just to be patient with the commission as we have other engineers come in and give us their suggestions. Suggestions from Greene County do not apply to Taney County, and we know that. And that was, I think, one of the issues we got was we had some suggested codes from Greene County that just, I think they allow building codes and they limit livestock and they do a lot of things that are just won't work here in Taney County. So, but as we come up with possible wording and revisions to our existing code book, there'll be public hearings when we change things so we can have feedback, but it's a work in progress. And our first version will not be the final version. And that's what I've asked people just to, you can come and listen and hear it, how it progresses. But part of the challenge is, as we work with the Planning and Zoning Department, there's open discussion about why this will work and why this won't work. And we just don't need anybody overreacting to a draft. No matter what version of draft, it's still a draft.
Okay. Good point. Mr. Chance.
Glad I stopped by. Planning and zoning. I'm going across the street in a few minutes, file these documents. I worked 4 hours putting this together. In fact, if Nikki wants to make a copy to give you gentlemen, I'm going to take it across the street and file it. I wrote in here that this will be the centerpiece of the planning and zoning situation. The Planning and Zoning Commission approved a project in the vicinity where I live. I have to file this by today. And, yeah, I was for reform. But if the Planning and Zoning Appeal Board wants to go along with this project, then that means they're not doing anything. And I'm with the others. Let's get rid of it and start all over again. So that I worked very hard. I worked for a week, and then the other day I worked 4 hours. Young lady typed it up for me, and it's pretty plain what it says, but we need to do something, and if they approve this, we have no planning and zoning. Let's just dump them and start all over again. But she'll give you the copy, and you gentlemen can read it. Thank you.
All right.
Other comments? Okay, I'd like to go on to what was said a minute ago. Well, let me back up. We have had surveyors and attorneys come and work with the county on planning and zoning issues. At one point, and I've lost track, probably been a couple of 3 years ago, on the issue of selling a lot off of, let's say, 40 acres and what you have to go through to do that. I mentioned, did I mention his name? Anyway, I would like us to set a work session. I'd like to see it this week on two issues, two planning zoning issues. I mentioned one of them mentioned both of them last Thursday. One of them is the ability for developers to build duplexes. The other one is the issue of selling a lot off of 40 acres, for instance. I would like us to invite, and we need to discuss this. I've got a couple of folks in mind on each project that I believe could help us, and whether they want to do it free gratis like they have in the past, or if they want to charge us an hourly rate. I don't think it's would be a big cost if we paid them an hourly rate to look at it. But let's do something.
I'd Mr. Paulson. I'd like to point out that after speaking with the County Commission, I raised at your request the three issues. The automatic renewal, not rezoning it back the way it was if they don't build it within a year.
Okay.
I brought up duplexes to the Planning and Zoning Commission at their last meeting, and I also brought up the third one that we met with two or three surveyors several years ago regarding the split off of a 5-acre lot from a 40-acre lot.
Yes.
And they charged me, and I'm fine with whatever you want to do, but they charged me with drafting something so that they could look at it, so that they could possibly approve it and recommend it to the County Commission. But if you guys want to have work sessions on that, that's fine with me. I just thought I'd update you on what had been done.
And also, just one on the duplexes, last week work session, you had instructed me to contact various developers and attorneys, which I have, and they've asked for 7 more days. I actually got a phone call from a developer today. I already have some feedback, so okay. It's a little premature because we sent an email and said 2 weeks.
Okay.
So on the duplex side, I already have some good feedback from attorneys and from developers who have sample codes that they'd like to see, discussed. But they asked for 7 more days, so the end of this week I'll have that.
So how about it? So give me a time when we're going to talk about duplexes.
It can be next Monday. I mean, okay. I told them 2 weeks, and it will be 2 weeks on this Friday. So a week from today, we can have a work session on that issue specifically.
Okay. All right with that, Danny?
Yeah.
So let's work to that, please, Nikki, on work session on duplex. The renewal issue wasn't the highlight, but the 5 acres off of 40 acres. How you propose we get to work on that?
Well, in the first place, it's that totally doesn't go with the way our code is set up now, so... I mean, you can split 2 acres off of any tract, so we'd have to consider 2 acres instead of 5 acres. We'll have to look at the state regulations and what they have. I don't know that they've got anything on that. A proposal by myself to Bob and to the commission at one time was that there should not be any regulations on splitting off a piece of property as long as they had a 50-foot easement. Public easement to that piece of property. So simplification of a lot of these codes is where I want to go. I would like to sit down with the work session and just start off page by page. There'll be a lot of things that'll be on issues that we can look at the page and the subject, and we can read over it, and we can say, that's all right. We're all right with this. And there'll be other pages that'll be controversial that we can either lay to the side or we can fix right then. Are to discuss and propose to the public. So that's the way to get this thing done in a 103-page document that it should end up with about, 75 to 90 pages in it. That's the way that I would like to see a work session go, that we would examine what we have, all the language that's confusing to the public, that doesn't interfere with the legal process, be changed and done away with or straightened up to where you don't have the general public out here complaining about something that they really don't understand, but they can know that it's affecting them at this particular point, but they don't understand the way it's wrote up. And I hear conversation here this morning about a lot of things, and a lot of people come up here that regulations that we have that they don't understand, and some of them I don't understand. So that's the reason I'd like to sit down and go through the entire. If it's 103 pages, it's not going to take that long to go through. And if they're not satisfied with it, it is their legal right. I want to bring up that, two people come in here and testified one morning on building codes. And this commission, not with Mr. Straufus, but with Mr. Hershen, Mr. Pennell, and myself, put that on the ballot with two people. There was no petition. So, how unreasonable is it for 1,500 to 2,000 people to come up with signatures that have a problem with the way that P&Z is going to request something and us not to pay attention to it?
Well, there's, I think, the last comment you made, Danny, about what's the difference in the building codes being put on the agenda or to vote, and this issue being put on the vote. The people that, and there were more than just two people, there we had documents, pictures of foundations that were falling apart, and it was more than just the two people. But the point is, those folks that asked for building codes to be put on the ballot wanted building codes. That's what they wanted. And they asked us to put it on the ballot, and we did, like you said. What we've got today is we've got folks saying, we want planning and zoning, but they're giving us a petition that says, do away with planning and zoning. So that, and I've made my plea to Mr. Earhart that he hold on to it and give us a chance to do it. There's a big difference in those two subjects. You also mentioned examine the code and go through a page-by-page thing. I feel like that's kind of what we've been doing already in the last few weeks. And one of the things that, as we've looked at this, is we got duplexes, and we've also got splitting off a parcel of ground. I'm asking that we go ahead and start working on those two subjects. I mean, plan a time so that it doesn't get put off and address those two issues that we know are there. I'm in favor of you going through page by page, and that's what has to be done. And we'll pick up others. I agree with you there. We can start both efforts. We can address these two that are right before us that we know need addressing, and we can start on the other at the same time. Actually, we already have, because we've hired somebody. We've been working on it. The commission, the P&Z commission, has been looking at things. So really, we've already started. We may need to come up with a more organized way of going about it. And if you're going to start at page one, like I think I hear you say,
that's what I'm saying,
then I'm all for it. Let's set a work session to start at page one and start going through it as you're asking. But also, let's go ahead. We've already agreed to on duplex.
Let's
also set a work session to look at the lot split issue. And going back to Bob's comment, I'm all for you doing what they've asked you to do, or we've asked you to do, but I'm not asking for us to call for some help. Mr. Wolf, Eddie Wolf, he sits in this month after month doing, and he knows the state law, and he might be of help. And anybody else, I mean,
fine,
Archer.
Somebody else doing it. Whatever you want to do, it's fine with me.
But not asking for that. I'm just asking for their knowledge and their expertise so that we can get the job done.
It's always great to have expert knowledge.
Yep. So my request is we ask Nikki to set a can do it at the same time we're doing work set, I mean duplex, or set a separate time for lot split, and then also to start a page-by-page review.
Okay.
Are we okay with that?
Yeah. Bob, I call on you because you know that I've brought up this lot split deal, and I thought you had something wrote up for me at one time.
I have something drafted already.
I know.
Okay.
And I thought that, and this has been like 4 years ago or 5 years ago, so this has been a controversial thing for some time that we've, and you know, the funny thing about it is I've talked to the other commissioners, and everybody's in agreement that this thing needs to be fixed. I've talked to P&Z members. I've yet to talk to one of them that doesn't think it doesn't need to be fixed, but we haven't got it fixed. So that's where I'm going, and I like I said, I think he has some documentation that would fit right into the code book that has what has been requested. It could be read and approved by this commission and be in effect.
It's a draft that can be fixed a little bit or as is, but we met with four or five, maybe two or three, I think Mr. Pennell remembers being there, not assessors, but surveyors, several years ago in the conference room of the place we used to rent.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about it, and I think we drafted something, but for some reason it's never been put in the code. It may need to be changed some before we do that, but certainly it wouldn't be bad to refresh with some of the surveyors what we're going to do.
But, you know, and I don't want to sound out of place, but I really find something wrong with going to a surveyor who's going to be making money off of a code that's in place to have them help direct us to fix a code. It doesn't make any sense to me that those are the individuals that are come before the P&Z with this code, and they are the ones that are receiving the cash for the lot split and the total survey of the property. Something in that whole scenario doesn't make sense to me.
You want to comment, Bob?
I'll work on this however you want me to work on it, myself, with experts, however you want me to do it.
During Nikki's work session, we'll get the calendar out and figure out when and block at the appropriate time going forward.
Okay. You made me think of something else, Dan. Very quick talking, we'll go all day. You mentioned the lot split, how you brought it up 4 years ago, and how Bob looked at it, and you said, we haven't done anything. Agree 100%. The basis that Mr. Earhart has brought up, we're not doing anything. We've just justified what his complaint is. We're not doing anything. Let's do something. You've agreed with what he said. We're not doing anything. We're setting some dates. We're going to do something. Other comments? Uh-oh. Sherry's got a comment. I'm just teasing. Welcome. Love to hear what you got to say, seriously.
I'm sitting here listening to all this, and I'm thinking, you know, it appears to me that there's going to be an awful lot of legalistic minds on this. And that's well and great. Legalistic minds have a place. They regulate, and that's a good thing. However, what's missed in that oftentimes is the practicality of the needs of the people. That bothers me a lot. When I look at the real estate issues that I've come across in the years of being a real estate agent, I see that practicality of the people all the time. When we're talking about work sessions here of surveyors, attorneys, our planning and zoning people, and our commissioners, we're talking about a pretty educated bunch, in my honest opinion, and I think the average citizen is not that educated on it. However, there's an advantage to that because they still can keep the practical in that. They're not so overcome by all the legalities of things that they lose the practical side of what the issues are. And I'm sitting here thinking, why in the world, on all this planning and zoning and everything that we're trying to regulate and tweak and change here, why is there not a panel brought forth that has some citizens on it with real issues, with real practical ideas? I hear a lot of good things coming out of all of you on it. I agree with Danny's statements. I agree with Chuck's statements, and I agree with some of Jim's statements. But that practical side of the citizen is missing here, in my honest opinion, and my gut is turning at that, because I see what kind of issues that brings up when a piece of land is bought or sold. I see what kind of issues that brings up when somebody wants a change to their land. And there's a sense of these people are making decisions for me, and I have no say-so as a citizen. As far as I know, this county and this country was founded on the voice of the people. And I think the voice of the people should honestly be honored, all of the people, not just the legalistic minds, not just the people who know all the details of surveying and legalities of the law and the planners. I think that there has to be that practical side. Now, I don't know if it's too late to put together a panel on that, but if it could be done, I think it would be a very good idea. And let some citizens come forth, sit on that panel when it comes down to the final tweaking and decisions of what needs to be done with the problems in our planning and zoning. I agree with the open meetings where the people are getting a chance to voice. But I also know that oftentimes they come in there not knowing all the facts. And that can cause tremendous gaps and big issues and things. If we have a couple of practical citizens sitting on that, that is going to be less likely to occur, because they're going to know all of this, all of the processes. They're going to be able to see these things for themselves and to be able to have a say-so in them for their fellow citizens as well. It's worked very well in many entities. One of the things that schools, for instance, entertain is they have a school board, and they have citizens that sit on those school boards. And it keeps them grounded. And I guess that I feel that that grounding is necessary to occur.
Bob's busting to add something, but let me throw something to you real quick, and then I'll give him the floor. I've heard one of our mayors suggests something like you just said, and I think we ought to look at it. I'm not sure. Did we get a meeting set with our mayors?
We did for next week.
It's next week?
I see it on the schedule.
So
next Wednesday at 10, I think, or 9, something like that.
I don't know if we want to talk about it before then or not, but I'm all with you. We need to hear practical stuff, and a lot of times somebody that's sitting out there that's not in the middle of doing it has a good viewpoint. Okay, Bob, go.
I agree with you, and I agree with Ms. Veldkamp. I believe the state legislators did as well. That's why when they set up so that you had to appoint a 9-person, one from each township, planning and zoning commission. I don't believe any of those people on there are attorneys. I don't think there's a surveyor. There's a real estate agent, I believe, but there's people from all walks of life. and prior to there being an amendment to the Planning and Zoning Code. It has to first go before the Planning and Zoning Commission. They have to have a public hearing where the public can come in and make comments on each and every one of the proposed changes. And they pass on it or well, at least they recommend to the county commission after that hearing, and they can make whatever changes they need. So I think the legislature agrees. I agree. I think we all agree that it's good to have citizens do that, and I think that's why the system was set up the way it was. If you want to have more of that, I suppose you can, but that's the process that was set up.
Well, as Sherry was talking, I thought the same thing, because we do have, I believe, a very well-rounded Planning and Zoning Commission, and just what you said, I agree. But the idea of looking at it where folks are comfortable and when they're asked to sit on a committee or whatever you want to call it, panel, it's sometimes brings up some good points. So we can look at that the way I feel. Got one nod. Mr. Chance.
I agree with Sherry on a lot of what she said. In fact, I'd be glad to sit on this committee. But she mentioned that people have a right to speak. Well, that's what I thought. But I have a right to speak, and it's going to cost me $125 this morning.
Didn't cost you a dime, Bob. You've come week after week.
Oh, no, across to file these documents.
You're filing an appeal.
I'm filing an appeal, but it's $125 because out of nine people, only one and possibly two looked at the site, made their decision. I feel it was wrong, and now we have to pay $120, and we shouldn't have to pay anything to try to set the record straight.
Other comments? All right. We've got one other issue that's not on our agenda that I believe the commission needs to try to make a little stab at clarifying. And I would like to know if Danny or Jim would like to do that.
I'll stab at it. Would you hand me that postcard, please? And this is just an FYI. We're not going to have a discussion because we did not post this item. It's right in front of Danny's, right on the board. There. So last week, October 4th, I believe it was, FEMA is in the process of digitizing our maps, our flood maps. And in that process, they also are identifying any properties that will be affected with the new regulations that they have. And what they've done is sent us the preliminary maps we have here on the table. But what has happened after we went through all the process, we identified over 3,000 properties. Well, actually, 2,800 properties had already been affected in the county through previous FEMA maps. But there's another 280 properties that have been identified as touching a flood, you know, one of their map changes. What the FEMA has asked us is they have given us 30 days to have discussions and write back comments of concerns. So in the next 30 days, what we are doing as a commission with the Planning and Zoning, Eddie is taking this lead too, is we're asking, we have sent out a Planning and Zoning card. And strictly the card was made for just one specific reason, to make sure you're aware that on a map, your property may touch a new flood plain. Strictly, it's just a notification to say, we're going to have a public hearing to write down all your concerns so that we can put them all in a document to send them to the federal government. That meeting is on Tuesday, October 26th. And what we are doing is we're making the maps available from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. In the hearing room, in this room. Eddie will be here. Dan will be here. The maps will be here. Just come in. We'll find your property on the map and help identify any concerns you have. Write those concerns down so that we can put them in together one large document to send to as a response back as they've asked us to do. On Friday, I met with the field reps for Senator Bond, Roy Blunt, and for Claire McCaskill. They also want our copies of our concerns so that they are aware of our FEMA concerns as these maps get digitized. At this point, this is strictly something the commission decided it would best to over-communicate to the citizens that the new maps are out. We want to hear your comments. There is some people that have properties that are on Hilltop. I think one property is called Hilltop Road. It makes no sense, but that this is the process for us to say this piece of property touches a floodplain or flood zone, and we want to make sure we have comments that we can gather and say this property should not qualify. It's nothing the county is deciding. We're actually being proactive to respond back to FEMA. So as you get these cards, and I think, Eddie, correct me, there's 3,017 sent out. Is that right?
There's 3,017 properties.
Oh, that's right. There's less than that sent out because some people had multiple properties, and so we just identified those. We sent it one card per...
One card per address. I believe Mr. Strahan has three properties. You should have got one card, and that's not going to say somebody didn't get two.
Right. So the cards are out there. At this point, it's not a position to get concerned that you're automatically in the flood zone. It is strictly a notification to say, come to our hearing, come to the meeting, write down your comments. We are going to take those comments and send them to FEMA. Nothing is finalized at all. The problem is we only have 30 days to respond. And that's why we chose a postcard to make sure everyone was at least notified one time of the change.
A postcard came to the address of record. Because that postcard came to your address, that may not be the property that's affected in the floodplain.
So one of your properties may be affected.
But that's your mailing address. And then these maps are available to be viewed in our office,
right.
8 to 5.
And each city has, I think...
Incorporated areas have their own maps.
Right.
This is only the unincorporated areas of Taney County.
Right. We're dealing with the unincorporated. The corporate incorporated areas go to your each city.
So how many maps do you remember?
We administer 50.
I'm sorry. I said maps, but I was talking cards. How many cards did you send out?
We sent somewhere around 2,500 cards out total.
They went out Friday.
Yes, sir. They hit the mail Friday. And so a lot of people will be getting those today and tomorrow also. But again, just to let you know, it may not affect you at all. It may not be anything. We just want you to know that you've got a property that touches the floodplain, and if you just wanted you to check it out if you have a concern about it.
Sometimes, Eddie, as a county commission and as a authoritative board, you try to help, and when you try to help, it causes a little bit more confusion than what you would like. My wife jumped all over me when we got this card that said, because we live on one of the highest points in Taney County, and then we got a card that said that we were in the floodplain, and she wanted to know what we were doing. And so I understand that the public, when we send out a card and try to be helpful in a kind of not in a warning situation, but to let them know that are these maps available, and so that a farmer doesn't come into a location and build a barn that's in a floodplain, stacks it full of $100,000 equipment, and it comes a flood and doesn't have any flood insurance, then they have a real problem. So this sometimes when you're trying to be helpful by sending the card out, the misunderstanding, you receive the backlash. And so that's what happened here.
And to follow up, the maps can be viewed in the planning and zoning office from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And then the meeting you mentioned, Jim, October 26th from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work for you, the commission has a set of maps, and I imagine if you called any of your commissioners, they'd be happy to to meet with you outside of those hours to
the same with us. We'd be glad
try to.
But it is going to require that the property owner, as you've seen the maps, pinpoint their location on the map. It's not something that we can pull up on the computer. These are not on the website
right. Or
anything like that. So,
and the commission saw the importance, and Danny's comments are very good. I'd like to say thanks to the IS department. They helped you a bunch. I know Eddie and you all worked real hard at trying not to send but one card, so we didn't waste money.
And they wanted to make sure that that we were leaving out one letter. They said the GIS department.
GIS. I see.
GIS.
It was Gary's department in the Information Services,
okay.
But this, particularly the GIS department. Today.
Great.
And I think our deadline is the 29th of October. That's when we have to write the letter and get it sent off.
And in talking with them, they said we can hold that until they are here for the meeting in November. And that's when they would collect all those. But because I did ask about being on record with that and everything.
We'll probably send it and then have a copy for them when they get here. So if
the property owner comes in and we find something that's out of order, we have the opportunity, and what the county commission is doing is to...
We'll have some forms in our office, and we'll have them here also where we can
put
down the name and the address and all that.
Right.
There's been a couple of issues found. Hollister found an issue with an elevation at a railroad track, and which in theory created a depression, and there's just been a few things like that.
Eddie, you mentioned this Hollister. Each municipality has their own set of maps.
Yes, sir.
And I'm thinking if you're in Forsyth or Hollister or Branson, should those folks, you think,
if
call
you own property
their
inside
city limit?
The
City
inside
office?
The municipality, yes, sir. But if you own property outside the municipality, it would do you no good to go to the city of Forsyth to look at their maps.
Right. They're still welcome to come and look at ours if they're in one of the cities. But
if they're inside the city, our map probably won't show it.
Might be better if they went to the city hall, wherever they're at.
Just probably almost.
Now, are these county cards?
Yes, sir. We sent these only to the unincorporated areas.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that somebody that lives in one of these incorporated areas didn't get a card from us,
right.
But all of these dealt with properties that are in the unincorporated areas of the county.
Okay, good. Anything else there?
No.
Mr. Earhart.
We really can't have any discussion on this.
You can make your comment, but we're kind of limited on what we can respond, or we are limited.
I just want to make a comment on FEMA. I've always said whenever the county commission voted to get this FEMA into our county, we were buying a three-legged dog. We're buying a less than what we should get for what we should be furnishing to our county. I am under the opinion I made a mistake. This is a disjointed dog. This is one that's got its hip up on its front shoulders and all the other parts of this dog in the wrong place. Now, we bought into this, and it's a government program, and we always think of federal as being a great program. But we are sometimes asked now to get into other government programs, and I think we should seriously look at these programs before we say, oh, it's federal, it's okay. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else before we take a couple-minute recess? Ready to go? We'll recess for a couple minutes and go into our next part of the agenda. Thanks for being here.